All right, guys, I think it's time we come together and we have a discussion about what we're seeing happening in America. We are seeing, yet again, more of these extreme apocalyptic wildfires that seem to be abnormal, unusual, catastrophic, and unlike anything that even locals in these areas, whether it be Hawaii, whether it be California, they have never seen anything like this. They've never experienced anything like this. Even firefighters who have spent their entire careers fighting fires have testified of how they've never seen anything like this in the history of their entire residence in these areas. Then the victims of Hurricane Helene, which, again, catastrophic, unprecedented hurricane that took a path that is so unusual, is like a once in a lifetime, once in a thousand year trajectory that went up through the Appalachians, completely wiping out portions of North Carolina and Tennessee and so on and so forth. So this presents a very controversial and sensitive topic that we have to bring to the table today. Now, I know a lot of watchmen are out there, and God bless them. And many of them are going to cover a different angle than what I'm going to talk about today. Many of them are going to go to the conspiratorial aspect of this, which I'm not denying that there cannot be nefarious, sinister agenda behind the scenes. I'm not ignoring that at all. But today, I want to talk about something that a lot of preachers won't talk about. Many behind the pulpits will never speak about. And that is, could we be seen again? Now we're in 2025. Could we see the increasing magnitude of the judgment of God? Could we yet be seen more? A continuation of the hand of God's favor be lifted, and dare I say, the judgment of God sweeping America. We're going to cover all that and more in today's podcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. You're tuning in to End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, I hope that you are enjoying your day. If you do not have the threat of a fire breathing down your neck or extreme bitter cold, possibly your power grid failing. If you've got a warm bed to lay in, if you even have a house to put the bed in, you're very blessed today. I am very blessed today. I am very thankful for this. But there is countless scores of individuals out there, whether it be in the Appalachians, whether it be in California and parts of Los Angeles, whether it be up in the north or northeast, they are living in conditions right now that are third world conditions because of the ongoing slot of endless disasters, whether it be extreme flooding, extreme fires, whether it be extreme bitter colds through polar vortexes that are breaking records, whatever the case may be, this is happening. We can't ignore this. We can't sweep this under the rug. We can't bury our head in the sand. And we're going to get into this today, And before we do it, we just want to welcome everybody. Listen, if you're listening by Apple or Spotify, you guys listening by podcast, we welcome you. We appreciate you. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Do us a favor. If you enjoy our content, give us a good review. That's going to help us out there with the podcast in that arena. If you're listening by Rumble, by YouTube, help us out. Hit that like button. That's going to push our push us out on the algorithm so others can find us and get eyes on our ministry. If you're new, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below or the chat or whatever the case may be or whatever platform you're on. Let us know that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And we'd love to welcome you. Our admins are here. They're going to welcome you with a warm welcome. And listen, we love you already. We welcome you to the program. We welcome you to the ministry of End Time Headlines. And I promise you, we're not only going to inform you, we're going to equip you. We're going to feed you. We come together on Monday nights for prayer, right here on YouTube. We try to cover all these bases. So, without further ado, guys, I want to get into this. Of course, today, as I said at the very introduction of this, this is going to be a very sensitive topic, because of the nature of what I'm going to be discussing, but I want to get you to the latest of what's going on in California. Let's go right over here. I'm going to pull this article up. They're now calling this the largest fire in history. In this, I assume it's in California or if it's in the Los Angeles region, but they're saying this is historical and the largest in history. Here's an official headline. Again, let me hit the refresh on this. Firefighters continue to battle blazes as Los Angeles braces for more days of fire weather. Of at least five individuals have lost their lives. More than 2,000 structures have burned, and at least 130,000 residents are under evacuation orders because of the wildfires burning across LA County. Someone from the Los Angeles Fire Department, it was the chief of the Los Angeles Fire Department, said, quote, "We are absolutely not out of danger yet." Now, we've got a lot of video to show you because we want to show you, and it is heartbreaking, it is shocking, the extent of the damage that is being shown out here. Here's a video. Again, we're going to have several clips, guys. We're going to watch these together. Let's check this out.
Nick Smith, we start this morning with breaking news in Southern California. The deadly wildfires burning across the Los Angeles area, reducing entire neighborhoods to embers and ash. One of the latest fires to break out late Wednesday is now burning through areas of the Hollywood Hills. More than 7,000 firefighters and emergency responders have been deployed to LA to work directly with local and federal partners to help evacuees and anyone with injuries. The infernos already taking the lives of at least five people, some of whom couldn't make it out in time or chose to stay behind to try to protect their homes. Others making harrowing last-minute escapes as fire surrounded their neighborhoods and they realized they just couldn't stay. Tens of thousands of people across the L.A. area now displaced by those fast-moving flames. Some already know they've lost their homes to those fires, including several celebrities sharing their heartbreak at the devastation. Others still don't know what they'll come back to when the fires finally subside. We have full team coverage on those wildfires this morning and the destruction, the response also, and how the weather is playing into the efforts to put them out. But let's start with News Nation's Xavier Walton on the ground in Southern California. Xavier, show us what's going on where you are.
Hey, Nick. Good morning.
Wow, guys, look at that behind him. It literally looks like a nuclear bomb detonated in Los Angeles. Unbelievable.
Morning. Yeah, for another day, families waking up to this devastation as a fire truck goes just behind me. Now, this is something that we have been seeing all morning long. Fire trucks certainly passing by and checking on different hotspots. And we're going to walk across the street here. And here's why. I mean, everywhere you go, you see cars like this, completely charred. Obviously, this has been here for a little while. And then you see active fires like this home. And since we've been here, we actually watched and heard. It was a loud crash. Heard the garage cave in, and then we watched the fire crews come in and kind of spray it. Obviously, this home is a total loss, But what they were doing when I talked to the fire crews, they said they were spraying the fire to make sure that.
Now I've seen a lot of, again, we're going to talk, we got to talk about this. We can't sweep it under the rug. There's been a lot of discussion online. Now we're talking about Reddit, Telegram, Facebook, Instagram, all over the place, where individuals are comparing this fire to the Maui fires, the Lahaina fires, those fires that broke out in Hawaii. Remember that? Where there was cars that were melted on their frames. There was nothing left. There was just metal. And all around them is decimated, destruction, apocalyptic. But yet there's trees standing fully intact. Here's one right here. Here's a whole tree still intact. This is greenery and shrubbery, and you're going to see this all over the place. And this has sparked a lot of controversy, and this fuels conspiracy, in which they will they'll equate this to these type of weapons that are being used. And again, I don't have anything for that, guys. I'm not going to pull up conspiracy sites and this and that, because that's not what I'm doing today. But I'm saying we're not going to ignore it. This is why I said these fires are unusual. They're bizarre. It's weird. And I'm sure if we went out there and dug, there'd be some type of scientific explanation. There'd be some meteorologist that could explain, some expert in wildfires that could tell us why this is possible and how this can happen. And it has to do with the wind current and the pull and the elevation and this and that. So again, we just want to throw that out there, because we know that it's coming in the comments. So you guys do what you want with that.
The flames wouldn't spread to the house next door. Now, as you're looking at this house, keep in mind, you know, obviously the winds have died down, but you see the embers going up into the night sky. Obviously, it's the early morning here. That is still a main concern here, is watching out for other fires starting, watching out for hot spots as you see what's left over here. Again, more than 1,000 structures, including 2 schools, destroyed, so to speak. Essentially, at this point, Nick, they're trying to make sure that these situations, these fires, don't spark up and get even worse. But certainly with zero containment, like you mentioned off the top, the level of concern is still there. We spoke to at least one family coming in this morning to pick up their belongings, and they said watching everything play out on the news in real time, they were just absolutely terrified.
Absolutely. And our hearts go out to each of them.
All right, I want to look at this article from the Daily Mail. How a tiny spark in Los Angeles backyard, so they're saying that's the ground zero of this, was a tiny spark in Los Angeles in a backyard ignited the city's worst ever fire. So again, this is historical, guys. This is the worst historical fire. Historically speaking, this is the worst fire in Los Angeles history. And it ravaged within hours and is still raging out of control. Look at these pictures. These images, guys, are absolutely breathtaking. It literally looks like a small tactical nuke was detonated in parts of Los Angeles. They're calling this a, quote, perfect firestorm. They're saying this thing incinerated 20 square miles of mansions and is still out of control. Now, look at this. Again, we're just going to get this out there because this is where it's going. This is what they're going to tell us. They're going to, that all of the mainstream media is going to come up with an official narrative for this. And here we go. All right. Scientists at the University of California, Los Angeles have put the fire down to a global pattern of what they're calling hydroclimate whiplash. Who's ever heard such a thing? But this is it. Hydroclimate whiplash. Which is rapid swings between intensely wet and dangerously dry weather. Experts say that heavy rains from El Nino last year fueled vegetation growth in the LA area, which had since dried out and become highly flammable. I guess this is what happened in Hawaii too, right? Once the flames ignited, Southern California was, quote, battered by devil winds. Interesting. Formerly known as Santa Ana winds, warm and gusty northeast winds that blow from the region's interior toward the coast. Unlike the usual winds, which come in from the Pacific and blow cooler, most air inland, most air inland. Again, here, look at these images, guys. Absolutely apocalyptic images. Here's a man walking up. Look at this house burning. Could you imagine? I can't imagine what these poor people are going through. Look at this. Again, this looks like something out of a movie. It doesn't even look real. And one thing I want to cover is all the controversy that's centered around this too. And even President Trump got up and blasted Governor Newsom and the entire government there in California and this administration and crucial things that led up to the incompetence that we're seeing. For example, check this out.
It is so taxing on the water systems. They're not designed to deliver water at a high volume capacity to every home in a neighborhood with their sprinklers running, feed the fire hydrants for the fire engines. And that makes the firefighters have to do anything and everything they can to draft water out of different sources. And it's fairly common to see floato pumps put in pools, hose lines laid out from floato pumps to houses surrounding that area. So to hear that does not surprise me. We're going to have water issues with this fire.
Again, does this sound familiar to anyone? This is the same. This is what happened in Hawaii as well. It's amazing. They live by oceans, yet they have water shortages. It's absolutely, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Until it's out in these areas. And it's not because we don't have any water. The system is overloaded. You know, you think about every house you see burned down, there's a real possibility that the water is free flowing because pipes have failed. There's nobody to shut it down at the main shutoff. And then think about the hundreds of fire engines that are trying to connect up and fill their tanks and do a sustained water supply off a fire hydrant. It you know, we're hearing a lot of discussion about a lot of different things. And for me, I kind of want to stay away from it in that the system is overloaded. And that's just common in this kind of a fire situation in this interface area. And ingenuity is the name of the game. Right now, firefighters, they look for every opportunity to stop forward progress or save buildings. But their primary focus right now is lives.
Mr. Rice, look at this stretch of area, guys. All this is burning in Southern California.
I'm sure nobody's in there.
I'm so glad you broke that down for us, because you too have heard the criticism about why wasn't there more fire water? Why weren't they prepared for this? And you just broke it down that we are prepared, but we can't force this water that we don't have.
That's true. And it's the water systems. They're fragile. You know, we saw similar things in Lahaina. When the water system goes down, that affects everything. It affects us. The electrical system, you see that both power and communication utilities are some of the first to fail in these wildfire situations.
Do you realize how terrifying it is to watch this unfold in real time and how unprepared these places are? Now, I think about this. The reason why I'm bringing this up, God forbid if we were ever to get hit with a EMP, we were to get hit with a cyber attack that struck our infrastructure, brung down our power grid. Listen, if we're unprepared, if Los Angeles, who is known for earthquakes and wildfires, are unprepared for such disasters, do we have confidence in our infrastructure and our government that's going to come to our aid in the event of a larger threat, such as an attack on our soil, attack against our infrastructure, an EMP, whatever the case may be? What about, it makes me wonder, what about the folks in and around that live in the proximity of the New Madrid fault line? You guys living in Knoxville, Nashville, Memphis, all through Tennessee. What about in Arkansas? What about in Kentucky? What about in Indiana and Indianapolis? Are you guys prepared? Is FEMA, and if you're relying on FEMA, then go look at the scrapbook of the Appalachians and Helene. And look at their footwork there. I'm sorry, guys. As I said, we're on our own. We have to be prepared as much as possible, and we leave the rest in God's hands. Lord, help these people. Help these people in California, the ones that are innocent of this. And we're going to get into that, guys. That's a lot of theological stuff that we're going to tackle that today. Yeah, right now we're giving you information, but we're going to give you revelation in a minute. So you need to hang in there for a minute.
The one thing that is alarming here is it's the population base that lives in the Palisades and getting into Santa Monica. Now you're just seeing, we have a lot of people living down there, and this fire is kind of transitioned from a brush fire into these neighborhoods, and the fuel, rather than being straight brush, and chamiche and shrubs and all those things, now it's the houses. And right now, the one thing, if you asked any firefighter, if they could control one thing in this fire, it would be the wind. Eliminate the wind and take the weather out of the equation. And until we see improving weather conditions, it's just going to be near impossible for firefighters to begin to get their containment lines set in.
Okay, let's stop here. So if we got any listeners, viewers that live in the state of California, you live in this region, you have relatives there, family members, coworkers, acquaintances. Now you know how to pray. Come on, intercessors. Now you know how to pray. Pray against the weather. Pray against the winds. The winds is, that's the oxygen that's fueling the fire. Pray, command those winds to cease. Oh, now, brother, you're getting into this stuff. Yes, Jesus was on a boat with his disciples and a storm rose up against them. And Jesus was taking a nice long nap. And the disciples woke him up because they were freaking out because the wind was about to sink the ship and a storm was about to sink them. And Jesus woke up, rebuked the winds, and he looked at them and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Now, I'm going to tell you, somebody says, "Well, we don't have that kind of power." I'm sorry, but listen, your preacher may preach that. But Jesus, listen to me, Jesus would have not told them, "Oh, ye of little faith," if he did not believe and know that they had the ability to be able to pray that way. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, according to the book of James, but he knew how to pray, and it was not just any prayer. It was an effectual, fervent prayer. And the Bible says that he prayed and the Lord shut the heavens up for 42 months. There was not a drop of rain. And Elijah was responsible for that. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then don't believe it. Don't pray. Get out of the way so that us who know how to pray and we can intercede and we can travail and pray, intercessors, pray. Let them pray. Don't be a stumbling block. Get out of the way. And I've said that about everything. Listen, I'm going to preach just for a second. Listen, we're not CNN or Fox News. This ain't Joe Rogan. We're a spirit-filled ministry that takes news and headlines, and we give you a prophetic edge to it, a prophetic perspective. And I'm telling you, these disasters are going to keep coming, so you better learn how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, you need to start learning. Get around. You know how I learned how to pray? I got around men, seasoned men and women of God who knew how to pray, and I would come and sit under them and listen and watched, and they were examples unto me. They taught me how to pray, and this is how I've learned how to pray. So now I've taught my children how to pray. So when we get tornadoes or we get threatening weather, you know what we do? You know, our kids immediately know what to do. They start praying. They start interceding. And we have seen the sovereign hand of God move in situations that were very dangerous, that involved tornadoes when we lived up in the north. Thank God we got out of that area, and we hardly deal with that anymore. But some of us don't have that luxury. Some of us, listen, if you live on the West Coast, you're going to deal with earthquakes. You're going to deal with wildfires. You live on the East Coast, you're going to deal with these hurricanes. You're going to deal with snowstorms likely. You live farther down in the South, you're, again, hurricanes, tropical storms, etc. So it doesn't matter where you live, guys. You're going to deal with these disasters, these extreme weather events. And listen, I know that we can tag it as climate, you know what, and global, you know what. But I'm also going to tell you that the Bible tells us in the Gospels of Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, for example, it tells us that these events are going to only intensify like birth pangs. Even Jesus said in Luke 21 that the waves and seas will be roaring and men's hearts failing them for fear of the expectation of the things coming upon the earth. We are not to be fearful as, come on, sons and daughters of the Most High, but we are responsible to know how to pray and intercede. So I just had to get that off my chest. Now I'm going to move on. Okay, and I want to show you, let's look at some more articles here. Now this, I'm going to kind of dab into some stuff here that is revelatory, I believe. And it's going to be controversial, so you might as well buckle up, get some tough skin. And if you are easily offended, I want to go ahead and give you a disclaimer. You may want to tune out. You may want to turn the channel. If you're new here, listen, and you're used to ear tickling ministries and preachers, this is definitely going to rock your world. And if you're not used to what I'm about to talk about here, then again, I'm just don't come in to the comments. Listen, if you want to get banned from our ministry on YouTube and whatnot, The number one thing is you come in there and call us a fear monger, or you come in there and you say all this stuff, then that's going to get you banned because you don't understand what our mission statement is. Listen, we're not here to scare you. We're here to prepare you. You could call Jesus a fear monger when he said there'll be wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation. When he laid it all out and told them, this is what you're going to see. This is what you're going to hear. This is what you're going to find. They could have called him a fearmonger, but he was preparing them. He wasn't scaring them. He was preparing them. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So let's get into this. I thought it was interesting that, look at his headline. Hollywood stars whose homes have burned to the ground as devastating Los Angeles wildfires destroy California. Hollywood's largest celebrities are picking up the pieces after discovering their affluent neighborhood was reduced to ash and rubble when the California wildfires tore through the Pacific Palisades. The death toll of the historic infernos have now reached 5 there's 5 historic fires burning at once as heroic firefighters still battle, quote, hellish conditions on the front lines of at least 5 different fires. Now, I want to show you, this is interesting. I want to show you, this is a headline from the New York Post. Look at this title, right? I'm going to put it right over here somewhere up above me so you can see this, or we'll put it full screen here. And it says, Hell LA or Hell A. And it, again, it is a picture and it's an image showing these fires in Los Angeles and they're calling it hell. They're referencing it to hell. Fire and fury as bad management leaves burning city without water. All right. The homes of Anthony Hopkins, John Goodman, and Miles Teller all are among those destroyed. So at least these three, and there's many more guys. While dozens of other stars now face an anxious wait alongside their neighbors to learn if anything could be saved. Apocalyptic fires, look at that, look at the language, tore through ritzy enclave of Pacific Palisades on Tuesday, rapidly spreading surrounding suburbs as a windstorm carried embers and debris in all directions. Residents fled and then waited with bated breath to learn more about their homes as news began trickling out of entire streets had been wiped off the map. Look at that. Entire streets wiped off the map. Firefighters were running out of water and resources were being diverted to fight the fire on multiple fronts. Now the widespread devastation is becoming clear. Celebrities, shared devastation upon discovering their loss of their million-dollar mansions. All right, here's one of them right here. This is James Woods. Listen to this.
Just, you know, one day you're swimming in the pool, and the next day it's all gone.
Actor James Woods breaks down on CNN as he talks about his neighborhood going up in flames. He shot this video as he was evacuating and saw, to his horror, his neighbor's house was engulfed in flames. The fire was moving down the hill, closing in on him from all sides.
Standing in my driveway getting ready to evacuate.
It was like an inferno. Every house was on fire around us.
He escaped through a hellscape of disaster, taking refuge in a hotel. A neighbor who stayed behind sent Woods this video of his pool deck.
You're looking good. Your house is not on fire, but it's...
To compound the loss, Woods says his insurance company canceled his policy last month.
Every single thing that I...
Wow. Yeah, speaking of that, let me jump over here and let me show you this. I thought this was just, I couldn't believe. California insurer canceled policies, look at this, months before Los Angeles wildfires. Whoa. Now again, you want to talk about fueling conspiracies. So we have to, let's read on before I interject this, because I don't want to jump the gun here, but let's read. All right, State Farm, one of the largest insurers in California, canceled hundreds of homeowners' policies last summer in the Pacific Palisades. Look at this. In this very region, last month, 30 days before this event took place, in the exact location that this would be hit the worst, State Farm, for whatever reason, maybe we'll dig in and we'll figure it out together. We're going to read this together. They canceled the insurance to hundreds of homeowners. Again, the same area that is now being ravaged by devastating wildfire. The move was justified by the company as an attempt to, quote, avoid financial failure as the frequency and severity of wildfires is growing in the Golden State, especially in at-risk zones. Now, I said that we weren't going to try to go into the conspiracy aspect of this. But guys, we can't ignore this because I am well aware that there is an agenda and a blueprint for what we would call smart cities, these 15-minute cities. This was heavily discussed during the Hawaii fires, and now. Isn't it interesting? I'm just saying, isn't it interesting that State Farm, I'm pretty sure that these people are not prophets. I'm pretty sure they don't have a crystal ball. They're not seers. They're not fortune tellers. So somehow they had the inclination. They had a premonition to cancel and single out hundreds of homeowners in the very same location that 1 month later these fires would break out. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, they did this because they understood the growing severity of wildfires in the Golden State, especially in risk zones. Sure. Okay. Now, again, whatever makes you sleep better at night, but I'm going to tell you something, guys, this stinks big time. Okay, but again, we're going to cover all angles here, but we're going to give you revelation as well. So I don't want us to focus so much on the conspiracy aspect of this, as I think there's a deeper thing going on here, and we'll explain this. Okay, I'm not rushing through this podcast today, guys. Again, I know I understand if you're coming from TikTok and Shorts, Facebook Shorts or Facebook Reels. YouTube Shorts, whatever, and you have a small attention span, we're going to lose you today because I'm taking my time and we're going to go through this because I want to leave no stone unturned on this. As the multiple fires currently burning through Southern California threaten to cause devastating losses for residents, many will likely need to rely on their insurers to get back on their feet after the blazes are contained. Quote, this is from State Farm. Our number one priority right now is the safety of our customers, agents, employees impacted by the fires and assisting our customers in the midst of the tragedy. This is a spokesperson from State Farm who told Newsweek in a response to a request for comment. Newsweek contacted the Office of Commissioner Ricardo Lora for a comment by email on Wednesday early morning outside of his standard working hours. Several private insurers have cut coverage in at-risk areas across California in the past 3 years, leaving homeowners scrambling to find options for coverage. Guys, who still lives in California? I know we got a couple here that are in. I just don't get it, guys. What is left for you? Well, Brother Ricky, we have amazing weather. Okay, I'll give you that. Amazing weather most of the time. But the taxes, the policies, the politics, the crazies, the wokeness, the agenda, I don't understand. And then we wonder why there is a mass exodus coming out of California. Well, my goodness, guys. All right, so apparently James Woods was one of these victims of State Farm. We don't have you covered. Now, obviously, it's probably not a huge loss to him if he's a good steward of his finances. He's well off. You know, he's going to recover, unlike those folks in the Appalachians. They're not. Those people are not going to, they don't have the luxury of that. Let's get back
to this. Iona's in this room. We got a basket of laundry, glasses, pills, and the keys to our car.
The Pacific Palisades is home to some of the best-known celebrities in America, and many were forced to flee.
So notice here, again, you've got to pay attention to this. This particular area, the Palisades, this area right here, was well-known for celebrities. That's very important when I get to the next part where we're going in just a moment.
Billy Crystal, John Goodman, Anthony Hopkins, and Ricky Lake are among those whose homes were burned to the ground. Ben Affleck was photographed sitting in a car outside his home, staring in disbelief at the approaching flames. Comedic actor Josh...
Imagine being that guy. He'd just been divorced from Jennifer Lopez again, and now his home's about to burn to the ground. And listen, I would love to be like one of these Hollywood stars. I'd love to make it big. I'd love to be wealthy and rich and prestigious and have all the fortune and the fame. Yeah. Okay.
Gad watched aghast as the hill in front of his house is ablaze.
I have never seen flames from my house like this ever. This is insanity.
Just 3 days ago, Adam Brody and Leighton Meester walked the red carpet at the Golden Globes. Now they're dealing with this, their $6.5 million mansion reduced to ashes. This heartbreaking video was posted by soap opera star Cameron Matheson, walking through the smoldering remains of his home. This is what's left, he wrote, sending so many prayers to everyone being affected by these fires.
We got a fire going on behind the house here.
Reality TV star Spencer Pratt could only watch helplessly as the fire crept closer to the home he shares with wife Heidi Montag and their two sons.
Come on, we gotta go, dude. Come on, let's go.
You can see the concern on his face as the flames approach. They got away, but their house was gutted.
Leave the keys in the car so that we can move your car.
And Steve Guttenberg, the star of the Police Academy movies from the 1980s, is earning praise today after a TV reporter ran into him moving abandoned cars out of the way so his neighbors could evacuate.
It's really important for people to help each other.
All right. Now, this has been circulating online. Joe Rogan's eerie warnings of L.A. fires resurfaces as blazes pummel Southern California. Resurfaced clips from Joe Rogan Experience show that the mega podcaster has been warning the right wind, that's not wing, right wind, will catch one of California's many wildfires and burn through L.A. to the ocean. Rogan eerily wearing a L.A. Fire Department shirt while speaking with fellow comic Sam Morrill, I believe it's Morrill, in July. And this was back in July, and was sharing why he left Los Angeles. One of the reasons being that he was always waiting for the next fire. Quote, I was evacuated 3 times from my house from fires. Last one, 2 houses in front of my house burnt to the ground. So again, Rogan saw the writing on the wall, and he said this is one of the many reasons he left. He left that area. All right, so that leads me, now I've got about 15 minutes that I want to talk about this. Again, I want you to think about the full spectrum of what we've seen over the last 12 months, 24 months. We're seeing an intensification of these disasters and extreme weather. Again, we're seeing all four elements being fully displayed. We're talking about earth, wind, water, and fire. Now, you could take those four elements, earth, wind, water, and fire, and you could put all these disasters in those categories. Earthquakes, volcanoes, you could put flooding, you could put wildfires, you could put cyclones, you could put tsunamis, winter storms, you could put hailstorms, you could put tornadoes, you could put all that in those four categories. Now, in case you didn't know, the Bible is filled, and guys, I cannot go through all of these scriptures. Again, I've got to leave you to be able to, you got to do some of your own homework and do your own research. Okay, so I'm going to give you paraphrases and quotes, okay, and then you can look these up. But the Bible is filled with examples of where in which when God brought judgment to nations, he used these four elements. Again, all of everything I just mentioned in the forms of earth, wind, water, and fire. These four elements were used to bring judgment upon nations. Now, when we talk about judgment, in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 6, it says that God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. All flesh were corrupt, and he talks about violence. It was filling the earth. The entire earth was filled with violence. And from a Hebrew perspective here, this phrase in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, it says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This denotes the process whereby a verdict, listen, this is very important, where a verdict is reached, or the verdict itself, it is bound up with notions of justice. Let me say that one more time. This passage of Genesis 6, 12 through 13, when the Lord looked upon the conditions of the earth and saw that it was filled with violence, lawlessness, iniquity, transgressions, and he said that the end of all flesh has come. Destruction will come. This denotes the process whereby a verdict is or has been reached, and it is bound with notions of justice. Translation, when the cup of iniquity has become full, God has no choice but being a just God begins to pour out his wrath upon these nations. And many times they are in the form of selective judgments. Now, what do I mean by selective judgments? It means you could have, one of the best examples is Genesis 19, wherein which you had 5 cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. There were 5 cities. All 4 of the 5 were decimated. 1 city called Zoar was intact, and it was where righteous Lot and his 2 daughters escaped out of the cities of the plains, and that's where they found refuge. But the other 4 met the fate of fire and brimstone. Now, in case you didn't know, the book of Ezekiel tells us that the cities of the plains were full of sin. They had fullness of bread. They had an abundance of idleness. They did not stretch their hand to the poor. They were full of pride, and sexual immorality was prevalent. I want you to remember that, okay? And that combination, all of these things went up before God, because the righteous that lived within those cities cried out to the Lord for his hand to bring, come on, justice, to bring a deliverer. One of those, according to your Bible, was righteous Lot, who the Bible says was vexed daily by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked and the things in which he saw and which he heard. He literally witnessed it. He was living among it. And as the cries of the righteous went up before heaven, God himself sent two angels there to testify, to bear witness, to record what was going on, and to bring a report back to him. And this would ultimately decide the fate of the cities of the plains. Now we know the story. Eventually, read it. It's in Genesis 19. The angels told Lot, look, we have been sent here to warn you that judgment is coming. Fire and brimstone is coming out of heaven. Now, we could sit here all day and debate what was the fire and brimstone. Some scientists and some experts and volcanologists believe it was a volcanic eruption on the Dead Sea, and it exploded. And so thus the writer, when he, Moses, who wrote this, he was describing what we would call a volcanic eruption. And this would explain why Lot's wife, who turned back, was turned into a pillar of salt, because she was covered in all the volcanic ash and the salt from the Red Sea, from the explosion of the volcanic eruption. Now, there has been another camp out here of experts who believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by a cosmic event, an asteroid burst that came through, and it caused all this devastation. Now, again, I can't sit here and tell you definitively, well, it was this or it was that. I'm just going to go by what Moses wrote. And he said, fire and brimstone fell out of heaven and it destroyed the cities of the plains, and it spared one city called Zoar. But don't miss this. Those angels came to Lot and his family and said, look, God's going to bring judgment. Get everybody you can in your bloodline. Are you hearing me, intercessors? And get them out and get them to a city called Zoar. This is going to be your place of refuge. On this note, I want to say this right now before I lose this train of thought, and I don't want to miss this. I felt this in my spirit right here to say this. As we get closer to the end of the age and the coming of the Lord, you're going to see more and more disasters. Again, fires, earthquakes, floods, whatever the case is, depending on where you're at, your location. These are going to intensify. But I believe, listen, as men and women of God, if we're close to the Lord, we stay in prayer, we stay in intercession, we stay in communion with him, we stay, come on, connected to him in his presence, I believe the Holy Spirit can reveal to us when and if it's time to relocate, when and if it's time to move, and where, and how to respond, and what to do, and how to prepare in these events. For some of you, he may say, all right, it's time to pack up and get out of wherever you're at. For some of you, he may not give you that go. He may say, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to pack it up, but I want you to prepare accordingly. There's people around here that I need you to continue to be salt and be light to. Come on, I'm telling you, that's a word for somebody right here. But don't miss this. Same thing, guys, happened in Daniel chapter 4. The Bible says, and this is in Daniel 4, 13 through 17. Again, guys, I apologize for not pulling up all the scriptures, but if we do this, this will turn into an hour and a half, 2 hour podcast. Let me read this. There was a decision by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. There was a decree from heaven that was made and judgment was pronounced on earth, and Nebuchadnezzar was the recipient of that judgment. He was driven out of his kingdom for a season, and his kingdom was given to another. Okay. You go to the book of Jonah, and the Bible says, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah and told him to arise and go to Nineveh and cry out and tell them to repent, for their wickedness has come up before God in heaven. That's in Jonah, remember? And Jonah, what did Jonah do? Initially, he didn't want to take the call. He didn't want to answer that call. He didn't want to have that responsibility. Listen to me, watchmen. Listen to me, men and women of God. If God has placed you on the front lines as a watchman, you have got to warn the people lest their blood be on your hands. As much as I'd like to talk about anything else and something else and didn't want to talk about this subject, I have to talk about this. I'm compelled to discuss this today. As a watchman, I have to warn the people and let them know. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, God saw their works. What works? The people repented. They turned back to him. They turned from their evil way. And the Bible says that God relented from the disaster in which he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Thus, he gave them a reprieve. Listen to me. God spared the Israelites in the time of famine through the hand of Joseph. He spared them in Egypt, making a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. In the day of Ezekiel, the righteous were marked with protection while the wicked suffered at the hands of an invasion. Rahab, the harlot, her household and her was spared because she made a covenant with the men of God, and the judgment of God struck the walls of Jericho and they collapsed, yet she and her household was spared. Listen to me. Listen to this, preacher. All through history, God has a way to warn those in covenant with him of premature events before they take place. Come on. State Farm is not the only one that can see things coming. Come on, us in the Word of God know these things are coming. And he's telling us how to prepare. He's telling us how to make provision. He has warned through dreams. He warns through visions. He warns through visitation of angels. He warns through divine encounters, divine circumstances. And according to the Word of the Lord, he hasn't stopped doing this today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Malachi chapter 3, there's a book of remembrance. God says, I will spare those who know me and that are in covenant with me. In the book of Luke, it says, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And we could go on and on and on, guys. But here's what I want to close with. This is where it's going to be very controversial. Listen to me. Many people do not realize, guys, that some of these locations that have either been decimated through flooding or burnt to the ground through fires were inundated, listen to me, with New Age practices, witchcraft, lawlessness. I can't even say this because I'll get flagged, but a very disgusting acts with children, selling children for gain and for pleasure. And that was, listen, that was heavily being done in that area in California, Los Angeles. Do I really need to go into this whole thing and go deep into Hollywood and talk about how demonic it is and talk about the Illuminati factor in Hollywood and talk about some of the disgusting acts that we know of, and God forbid we ever find out what has been done in secret? Hello, P. Diddy. Do you realize in his quote unquote freak offs? Do you know how many of these celebrities and Hollywood stars were involved in that? You think God is just, listen, these guys may get off on this stuff. They may get off scot-free. They may walk away and not be guilty of this. But I'm going to tell you, you can't get away from the judgment of God. You can't run from God. That one day they will stand before God and they will be judged eternally. But I'm going to tell you, in the meantime, God is pouring out, I believe with all my heart, selective judgments. That region in California. Let's talk about the Appalachians. Let's talk about Asheville, North Carolina, that was decimated by Helene. You do realize, guys, that area is known to be a hub of witchcraft and New Age. You don't believe me? Let me pull up this article. This is a full look at this. This is from the Blue Banner. Again, this is a local, this is from the Student Voice of UNC Asheville. This ain't some guy's blog. An enlightenment of witchcraft in Asheville. Look when this was written. This was written before Helene struck. This has been going on for years, guys. I have friends that are spirit-filled that live in Asheville, and they talk about how oppressive it is. Listen, we went and visited the Biltmore last year, and we stayed 3 days in Asheville, I'm sorry if this offends you. If anybody listening from Asheville, God bless you, but it was so oppressive. It was so oppressive you could cut it with a knife, and I was ready to get out of there because you could just feel the heaviness. Look at this. Witchcraft sparks conversation easily in a city like Asheville, but many people might not know where to start or a conscience of closed practices utilized by specific cultures. Witchcraft is a sacred fun, not dour, guilt-driven, or fear-based. It is based on a daily conscious choice, creativity, diversity, and inclusion with simple ancient ethics. Again, this was written by a high priestess recognized as Queen Lady Passion. And it goes on. You could read this whole article, guys. Again, Asheville, North Carolina was inundated with witchcraft. Do you know that Bourbon Street in Louisiana is inundated with all kinds of the occult, New Age, witchcraft, sexual abominations? I'm telling you guys, we read the book of Isaiah, and we read the book of Jeremiah, and we read about how God brought judgment to these nations that abhorred God, and they turned from God, and they turned to idolatry, and they turned to abominations, and they practiced these things. We read about Genesis 19, and we think that these are just stories of the past. No, my friend, let me read this to you. Peter said this, for if God did not, this is in 2 Peter 2:4, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. I want to show you something here, guys. Look at this in 2 Peter 4. He mentions Noah and he mentions Lot. Now, who else did that? Jesus and Luke 17, as it were in the days of Noah, and as it were in the days of Lot. Now, look at what he says here. Notice what he said. He did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood. Somebody say flood. On the world of the ungodly. And, verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Somebody say fire. Flood and fires, condemned them to destruction, making them an example. Type in example in the chat. So you have flood and fire and examples. Now look what it says here. These were all done as examples to those who afterward would live ungodly. Folks, listen to me. God ain't playing anymore. I know that so many preachers and Christian television and networks have presented this God who never gets angry. He's never just. He never brings judgment. He never brings correction. He never raises his voice. He doesn't make a cord of whip and run, come on, and run the money changers out of the temple. That's not the Jesus that they portray. They give us a one-sided, all-loving, all-inclusive Jesus that is not even the Jesus of the Bible. But listen, so when a preacher comes along, a watchman comes along, a man of God or a woman of God comes along, and they preach to you what I'm telling you right now, then again, that's why we're labeled as fearmongers. And that's why it's very resistant to receive this message, because it's such a stark contrast in the culture that we're in. But I'm telling you, friends, I believe we're going to see more and more of this happening. I believe with all my heart, well, brother, I think this is the government. I think this is some agency. I think this is corruption. There is nefarious reasons. They're trying to build these 15-minute cities. They're trying to do this. Well, guys, you realize if that is happening, and I have no doubt that that could be, that doesn't change anything. You realize when God brought judgment to nations many times, he rose up wicked leaders over them. Anytime when Israel fell into sin, you know what he did when they fell into sin? He just rose up evil judges and that would rule over them and bring them into bondage. So the very fact that you either believe God or you don't. And if you believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still judges, then you have to believe that even if these nefarious things are taking place, obviously God is allowing it. And for him to remove his hand of favor, permits or allows destruction and judgment to come to a nation. Now, you may say, well, hold on here, preacher. There was good, loving people in the Appalachians. And there was good and loving people in California. And you are absolutely correct. And I want to show you a scripture because I knew as sure as I talk about this, people's going to bring this up. So let me pull this up. This is in Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him, and they're talking about Jesus here, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? Okay, so he's saying here, do you believe these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? They were right there in the midst of it. Then watch what he says in verse 3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. Now he gives another story that they were all familiar with in that time. He says, or what about those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them? Do you believe they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. Guys, listen to me. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. I'm telling you, I believe there was probably some good people in Sodom and Gomorrah that didn't make it out. Lot's wife, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it gives us a description that she was an evil person, but she didn't make it. There were sons-in-laws that didn't make it out, but they were good people. They were within the 10 that Abraham pleaded for. If I can find 10 righteous, will you not spare the city? There was sons-in-laws in that city that just didn't make it out for whatever reason. Maybe they didn't hear from God. Maybe they rejected the message, which if you read Genesis 19, that's exactly what they did, because Lot came to them and they didn't believe him. They thought he was joking. So guys, this is not a joking matter. This is not a laughing matter. So I leave you with the same thing Jesus said here. Do you think all those people that lost their homes are more wicked than the others? I don't know. That's not up for me to decide. Do you think everybody in the Appalachians and in Asheville were bad people? No, I don't. But I believe you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. But I also believe, listen to me, that we all have a time here on earth. And Jesus said, no, they were not more wicked. But lest you repent, you will likewise perish. So I leave you with this. And I know this, the comments are going to be flooded with all kinds of different opinions, and that's fine. But here's the bottom line. This is what I'm concerned with, is your soul. If you're watching, you're listening, and I don't know what disaster may succumb to you. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know in your future. I don't know where you live. You could be on the West Coast, the East Coast. You could be up north. You could be in the South. You could be facing whatever disaster. I do know this, and I can say this based on the Word of God, that these disasters are not going to diminish. They're only going to intensify, and they're only going to increase, which means that we are all subject to being, come on, affected by this in some way, form, or fashion. So the bottom line is this, my friend, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't have a relationship with Christ, what profit is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What if you did spare your home, but you lose your soul? You lose your life. Your family's saved, but you lose your life. Friends, nobody wants to see you go to hell. And the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there is a free gift, Romans 10 tells us, and it is the gift of salvation. And the Bible says, this is what the Word of God says, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and he died and rose again from the grave, and you mean this with real, genuine repentance, and you can, and you pray from your heart to accept Christ and ask the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you, my friend, he will come, wash you of your sin, inscribe your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and make you a citizen of heaven. And he'll do it right now, today, in Jesus' name. Why wait? Why put it off? We don't know what the future holds. Come on, do it right now. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for anybody and any individual that's watching right now. Lord, as we continue to lift up these folks on the West Coast in California that's being ravaged up by these fires, we continue to lift up these folks that have been impacted in the Appalachians and these locations, as we pray for those that are watching and listening right now. Our friends that are watching, listen, maybe you stumbled into the podcast, maybe you watching here on YouTube or Rumble, or somebody invited you in here, and you're away from God. You don't know God. You're backslid, whatever the case may be. We pray for you right now, and I pray that you would have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God would draw you to repentance. You would confess your sin before God, and that your name would be put in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you would have an assurance to know that whatever may come tomorrow, you have made your eternal state assured by knowing that you are now in Christ. And I pray this today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Listen, guys, I know we went a little bit long today, but I pray that you enjoy this podcast. Before we go, again, if you don't download our free app, I want to encourage you to pick it up today. It's available on Apple and Android. You can pick it up today and download it and hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Every headline, every podcast, going to be right at your fingertips, breaking news, all of that. And of course, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, and you'd like to partner with us, you can do it two different ways. You can give electronically through multiple ways. Right there on the screen, the app, the website, right there on YouTube. You can do super chats. You can click on the support right there at the top that's bookmarked, whatever the case would be. Or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're gonna sign off for today. Again, we love you. We appreciate you. Stay safe out there. Keep your head on a swivel. Be prayed up and be under the blood. And we'll see you on the next one. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.